There are some life lessons that I've learned the hard way. Some lessons that I've learned from mistakes that I've made, even as a preacher, even in my efforts to try to reach out to people. It was about 8 or 9 years ago when I was visiting with somebody here in Norman, and it was during the spring season and Easter was quickly approaching. And he was talking about what was going on where he attended church, and he asked me what we were doing special for Easter. And looking back in hindsight, my answer to him was not good. In fact, my answer closed the door. I had an opportunity provided in front of me, and instead of walking through that door, I basically shut it closed. We don't have a lot of opportunities to talk to people about Jesus in this world that we live in. Many times all we face are closed doors. But there are certain seasons where we do have opportunities that are increased. There are some things that I know about Jesus without a doubt. I know that He is the Son of God. I know that He was born, that He came here to earth. I know that He died for us on the cross. And there are certain seasons here in America where people are more focused on Jesus than at other times. That's just the way it is. And if we're not careful, we'll miss out on these opportunities. We'll miss out on these seasons. Because instead of actually taking advantage of these opportunities to talk about Jesus, maybe we're just so quick to say, well, we're not for sure what day Jesus died, or we're not for sure what day Jesus was born. Because if you look at the world and they were going to describe to you who Jesus was, which is our task today, most people would say Jesus was born, and then they would say Jesus died. And that's true. But what about all of the stuff in between? What about the life that He lived? What about all of the miracles that He performed? What about the perfect existence that He had here on earth? We certainly cannot deny that Jesus was born. And we certainly will not deny that He died for us on that cross and was resurrected the third day. But we also can't deny that there is a lot of confusion in the religious world today. I don't know if you were focused in on the prayer that Scott led during communion, but one of the prayers, he made this statement: our goal is to reach people with the gospel, to win souls for Jesus Christ. If you listen to Tony's prayer, the focus was on bringing people to Jesus. And that's what this world desperately needs. And there is so much confusion in this religious world that we live in today. And we are to be a light. We are to be a beacon. We are to share the truth of Jesus Christ. And when we have opportunities, whenever it is, we need to take advantage of those. Many people are like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, in this Christmas classic, he was confused. And he had the blues because he just didn't know what Christmas was all about. And so he goes around and he's trying to figure it out. What is it all about? What does it really mean? Lucy tells him it's about Santa Claus. Snoopy thinks it's about winning the neighborhood lights and display contest. Even the Christmas pageant turns into a dance-a-thon with all the kids complaining about their parts. One proposal is that Christmas must have something to do with the Christmas tree. But all this celebration only leaves Charlie Brown more miserable. Eventually, he cries out in despair, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" When we look around and see what Christmas means in our culture, we're often forced to ask the same questions. For many people, Christmas just becomes about presents. Maybe Christmas is all of those things that I mentioned. Christmas is Christmas trees. Christmas is a Christmas pageant. Many are like Charlie Brown today, just wondering what it's all about. At the end of the show, Linus steps into the spotlight with an answer. In a bold move that barely got by the censors when the program was first aired in 1965, Charles Schulz insisted that his TV special end with a summary of what Christmas was all about in his mind. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field," Linus begins. Then after quoting the rest of Luke 2, 8 through 14, he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But we can take it even further than that. Jesus Christ coming here to earth, Jesus Christ living a perfect life, Jesus going to the cross for us, Jesus being resurrected, all of that is what our life is about each and every day. Not just Easter Sunday, not just Christmas. Jesus Christ is our life. We should celebrate His resurrection daily. Once a week, when we come together on the first day of the week, we partake of the Lord's Supper to remind ourselves that Jesus, He died. Jesus was resurrected, and that through His death we can have life. But in order for Him to die, He had to come to earth. He had to be born. And here in this season, as people remember His birth, and as many celebrate His birth, we're going to have some opportunities to talk to people about Jesus, to try to answer some of the confusion that they have that is just swirling around in our religious world today. What better summary could there be of this season? What better summary could there be of a person's life than Jesus Christ? Christ the Savior is indeed born. Just as people struggle with the meaning of this season, people also struggle with Jesus Himself. Who is this person? Who is Jesus? Why did He come to earth? Why did He leave heaven to come down here to this horrible place that we struggle through on so many days? Why was He born in that manger? Why did He give His life on the cross? Is He really God? One little girl remarked to her mother, "Why doesn't Jesus ever grow up? Every time I see Him, He's in a manger." For many, that's all they know about Jesus. For many people, all they know is that He was born, and they know He died. What about His life? What about what He did when He was here on earth? We mark our lives by our birth date and the day we pass. Every funeral that I've been involved in, when the obituary is being read, those are two dates that are always shared. The date a person was born and the day that they passed. It's the stuff in between that defines our lives. It's the stuff in between those two dates that gives a picture of what our life was all about. What would you think of a funeral message that only shared the person's date and the day they passed? What if you attended a funeral and the individual got up to talk about this person? All they said, they were born on August 9th, 1943, and they passed on September 16th, 2017. And then they sat down. What would you think? I know the thought I would have. I would be thinking there has to be more. There's got to be more to this person's existence than their birth date and the day they passed. And there has to be more concerning Jesus. We know His birth is important. It means everything to us. Christ the Savior is born. We know without His death, we have no hope. There's no way for us to get to heaven. Without the resurrection, all of us are hopeless. We're lost. We know all of that is important. But wasn't it His life? Wasn't it the things that He did in His life that allowed Him to be that perfect sacrifice for us? Wasn't it what we read about in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, where Jesus conquers Satan, where He resists temptation? And not only in that setting, but also every day of His life, He never sinned. Do you realize that? Just making it through a day without sinning is difficult for us. I don't know that I can do it. I struggle. He never sinned. It's how He lived His life that enabled Him to die as the perfect Lamb of God. Surely God didn't come to earth to just be a baby. He did more than be born and die. So let's do some investigating this morning. Let's discover who this Jesus really is. It is often said that knowledge is power. This is true. And some knowledge is very powerful. There's great power and blessings in having knowledge of Jesus. Growing in our knowledge of Jesus helps us better to see all that He did, all that He is, all that He has come to do for us. And having a growing knowledge of Jesus helps us develop a deep connection, a deep relationship with Him. Although secular society continually attempts to exclude Him, Jesus still seems to be everywhere. We see him as a plastic dashboard statue in a passing car. We watch him portrayed in Hollywood productions. We observe him in many variations as the manger baby for Christmas. In spite of all this attention, we sometimes neglect to ask the most important question, the most crucial question. Who is Jesus Christ? To answer this question today, we're going to turn to the writing of Paul to the church at Colossae. Read with me as we begin in verse 15 of Colossians 1. This is all about Jesus. This is who he is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Paul goes on from there, but we're just going to focus in on this part of Colossians 1, this picture of Jesus Christ. So as we look at those words, who is Jesus? Who is this Savior? Well, Paul lets us know that he is the image of God. This extraordinary phrase is one of the most profound doctrinal statements in all of the New Testament. Yet it is susceptible to misunderstanding in at least two ways. People can take God's word and not fully understand it, and there can be some misunderstandings with these words. First, when Paul says that Jesus is the image of God, he does not mean that Jesus is some type of copy of God. We know from our experience with copy machines that the copying process always causes degradation, that the image isn't as crystal clear, as perfect as what we put there on the copier. It always is just a little bit less. That's not what Paul is talking about. With a copy machine, each copy is less perfect than the original. You consider people who want to buy expensive art pieces. When buying art masterpieces, no art collector or dealer wants a copy of the original. They want the real deal. They want the original. If they're going to lay down millions of dollars for some work of art, they want to know this is legit, this is real. I have a pretty good collection of football and basketball cards from the early 80s up through the early 90s. If I were to give you a copy of my Michael Jordan rookie card, you probably wouldn't be too impressed. If I just took that card and put it on a copy machine, pushed copy, gave you a copy of it, that would be worthless. If I were to give you the original card, that would mean a little more. We like the original. Jesus delivers the original. He brings the real deal. He shows us who God is. Not a copy of God. He reveals to us God himself. Paul shows us that Jesus is imaging or revealing the unseen God to us. Our God, our Creator, who does not allow human eyes to see his face, is made known through his Son, through Jesus Christ. So when we consider who this Jesus is, who is Jesus? What did he do in his life? Well, day by day, minute by minute, he shows us the Father. He reveals to us who God is. Jesus' words to Philip in John 14, they apply to all people. And they apply to us today. He who has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. The apostles, they wanted to know God. And finally, Philip comes to Jesus and he says to him, just show us God and it will be enough for us. That's what we want. Just show us God. And Jesus, he had to be so frustrated, exasperated perhaps. Are you kidding, Philip? Have you been with me so long and you still haven't seen what it's all about? What I'm all about? Does that sound familiar to us? There's so many people in this world, they just don't know what it's all about. I would venture to say there's probably people here today. We just don't know what it's all about. We don't know who Jesus is all about. When we look at Jesus, we see the Father. Most religions in the ancient world worship gods represented by idols. Yet we know the God of the Bible refuses to be represented by an idol of any kind. As God was instructing the Israelites back in Exodus 20 concerning how they were to live, how they were to represent Him, He makes it clear, don't make any idols. Don't worship any other gods. He commanded that His people worship Him alone. When the Romans first occupied Palestine, some Roman officers entered the Holy of Holies in the temple. And they were dismayed that there were no images there, no idols. And so they came to a conclusion, because they didn't see any idols, because they didn't see any representation of their God, they came to the conclusion that these Jews did not worship any God, and thus were atheists. Today, many people doubt God's existence because they cannot see Him. That's why Jesus came to earth. We know He came to die for us. We know He came to give His life for us, to be our sacrifice, to be our propitiation. We know that's why He was born, why He even came to begin with. He came to show us God as well. He came to show us who the Father is. So we look out at the world and people say, well, I can't see God, so I'm not going to believe in Him. I'm not going to worship Him. Yet in so many other areas of life, we readily accept what we cannot see. We cannot see carbon monoxide, but we know that gas can be lethal. We cannot see love, but we feel its presence and its power. We cannot see radio waves, but that doesn't stop us from tuning in our favorite radio stations. Even though all these things are visible, we still order our lives around them because we know that they are real. God is real. Jesus came to earth to show us the Father. That means that what we see in Jesus is the original of what God is like. The Apostle John tells us that no one has seen God except as God's Son has revealed Him to us. Another possible misunderstanding with this verse involves this second phrase, the firstborn of all creation. Paul is not saying that Jesus Himself is a created being. Rather, this is a way of saying that Jesus is the ruler over all creation. In the ancient world, the firstborn son has authority over the father's house that is essentially equal to that of the father himself. The only one who can overrule the firstborn son is the father. Since there is complete unity of purpose between Jesus and his father, between God and son, the authority of the Son over creation is equal to that of the Father. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. The word translated firstborn here is also in Hebrews 1 verse 6. There it is even clear that Jesus enters the world of humans from the outside as an uncreated being. And so Paul, he begins his picture of Jesus. This is who He is. This is the identity of Jesus. With a big statement. He is the image of God Himself. If you know the Son, you know the Father. There's one other puzzle piece I want us to add to our picture. Jesus is also creator and sustainer. We know that by Him all things were created. But as we continue to look at these words, we see that it's also through Him that all things hold together. Paul expands upon Jesus' role as creator by giving an inclusive statement with important implications. By Him, all things were created. Don't you love how clear the Bible is? All things were created through Him. All things were created for Him. Paul makes sure that readers don't have any doubts, any questions. There are not any exceptions. What about the giraffes? Well, Jesus created them. What about the hyper spider monkeys? Jesus created them. What about the stars? Jesus created them. What about humanity? What about us? He created us. Things that we see, things that we cannot see. Jesus has created all things. And that's what Paul wants his church to know. Everything in the physical and the spiritual realm, it has been created by Jesus. And Paul also insists that it was all created for him. Now listen to that. Everything was created not only by him, but for him. This includes you. You were created by Jesus. Now get this. You were created by Jesus. Isn't that important to know? Who formed us? Who made us? Who created us? Who put us here in this life? You were created by the Son of God, by Jesus. But keep listening. You were created by Jesus for Jesus. You were created by God for God. That's why we're here, to glorify God. We should view our existence in these terms. I believe we grasp easily that Jesus is our creator, that God is our creator. But do we know that we were created for them? That's why you're here. When an individual goes out and starts building a truck from scratch, they work on it, they fix the outer part of the truck, they get it all shiny and nice, they fix the engine, they build it from scratch. Some people are able to do that. My dad had the ability to do that. They're building it for a purpose. They're putting that work in for a reason. Jesus created us for Him, for His Father. We're here to glorify God. We should make decisions in our life to glorify our Father. We resist temptation to glorify our Father. We're benevolent to others to glorify our Father. We serve other people to glorify our Father. We tell people about Jesus. Now listen. We tell people about the Son of God who was born, who lived a perfect life, who is the image of God, who died for us and was resurrected. We share that message with the world because we are here for that. We're created by God for God. Do you consider your life in those terms, in that way? Paul's mighty statements about Jesus continue at an intense pace. He continues to talk about Christ. He asserts the preexistence of Jesus. The affirmation that Jesus is before all things tells us that the divinity of Jesus is not limited by time or space. This statement is similar to what Jesus claims when he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And then Paul goes on to say this. Jesus is creator. Jesus is the image of God. He also sustains things. The word translated hold together that you see here in verse 17, it has the sense of continuing to exist. Now, there are some days where we struggle with that. Just that continuation of existence. That day-to-day grind, those day-to-day responsibilities, the day-to-day struggles, health issues. The Bible never sees God the Creator as some kind of divine clockmaker who makes the clock, winds it up, and then abandons it. God made sure that wasn't the case. He sent His Son down here. And Jesus continues to be involved in the ongoing affairs of the created order. We are confident that God created us through His Son. We see Him as Creator. We worship Him as our Creator. Do we view Him as our sustainer? The opposite of being held together, that's easy for us to know. If I was going to give you a test this morning, all right, guys, what's the opposite of being held together? Well, it's falling apart. A lot of people falling apart today. There's a lot of lives falling apart. A lot of marriages falling apart. A lot of families falling apart. And right here, God gives us a solution. It's in Christ that all things can hold together. He is the super glue. He is the polydent. He is the gorilla tape. He's the duct tape. Whatever image you want to think of. He can hold us together perfectly. He can hold your life, your family, together. And that makes sense, doesn't it? After all, He is our Creator. The Creator of anything can fix it. The Creator of anything can hold it together. So do you see what I'm saying? Jesus created us. And if our lives are on the brink, maybe it's time to go back to our Creator. If everything around us seems to be falling apart, perhaps it's time to get back to our Maker. If your life isn't where you want it to be, if it isn't where God wants it to be, there's a solution. And the solution is found in Him, in Christ. Can you see why it's so important for us to talk about Jesus? Whether it's January 8th, March 16th, June 21st, October 8th, November 9th, or December 25th. People need Jesus. And we should take advantage of every opportunity that we have to tell people about our Savior. Because the solution is found in Christ. And there's a lot of problems in this world. We could list problem after problem after problem after problem. Maybe it's time we start talking about the solution. Christ, the Savior, is born. God has come to earth. Recently, I was honored to help with Lou Fennell's funeral. And at the graveside, I had a few private moments with the family. Lou was known for her generosity. She was known for all the cards that she wrote. She was known for all of the gifts that she poured out on her family. And there at the graveside, I remarked to everyone who was there, it was just the family, and I reminded them that they probably had received many gifts from Lou. And then I said this: the greatest gift that Lou gave her family was the gift of godliness, the gift of a life devoted to Christ. This is the best gift you can give your family. It's the best gift you can give your spouse. It's the best gift you can give your children. Cousin Eddie was impressed with the gift of membership in the Jelly of the Month Club. After all, it was the gift that kept giving the whole year. Imagine what he would think about the gift of godliness, the gift that keeps on giving throughout all eternity. That's what you can give your family because of Jesus Christ. Christ, the Savior, is born. Christ, the Savior, lived a perfect life. Christ, our Savior, died for us. And Christ, our Savior, was resurrected on that third day. And it's through Jesus that all things hold together. This includes you. This includes your family. A lot of people in this world, just like Charlie Brown, they just haven't figured out what it's all about. And I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about Jesus. They don't know what He's all about. They don't know who He is. They don't know why He came to earth. Luke declares to us that a Savior has been born, none other than Christ the Lord. We need to know who He is. We need to know why He was born. He is the image of God, Paul declares in Colossians 1. He came to earth to show us God. He is the Creator. He is the sustainer of our life. He came to earth to show us how to live. He is our only source of salvation. He came to earth to die for each and every one of us. We need to focus on His birth. We need to focus on His death. But let's not neglect His life, because it's through His life that we can find life. And this morning, if your life is just spiraling out of control, let me remind you of what Paul says. It's in Jesus that all things hold together. If we can help you in any way this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.